Welcome to today's bonus episode of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Laura, and I'm delighted to be joined by my co-host, Catherine.
Hello.
Before we launch into our new season of the podcast, we wanted to come back together today for some bonus time to reflect on our summer and share some of the things that we've learned along the way.
I'm so excited to be back. So hello and welcome to any new listeners. And of course, welcome back to our returning listeners.
Well, this summer was a whirlwind of facilitating professional learning that took both of us all over our region, from the Region 10 roadshows to district end of school and back to school conferences. We did virtual webinars, book studies, consulting with coaches and school leaders, 6-hour sessions, 3-hour sessions, 1-hour sessions, and more. We even had some time to sneak in some learning for ourselves, and whew. It was a summer, it was a blast, and now that school has started and that summer and back-to-school PD time has come to a close, it's such a great time to pause and reflect, and I especially enjoy getting to do so here with you in our podcast studio.
Oh, Laura, I completely agree. And preparing for this podcast, learning together, and launching these episodes is one of the best parts of my work. Our friend Marvia recently used the term reflective practitioner, and I so appreciate you and others in my life who do value the time and space for processing and reflecting.
Good phrase, too.
Yes. And speaking of reflecting, today we're going to structure our reflective conversation using a simple framework called plus minus next. And it looks like this. We'll consider the plus, what worked this summer, minus, what didn't, and next, what's next, as we think about our summer of facilitating professional learning.
Well, I love this framework, and I unsurprisingly originally learned about it from you, and I've been able to use it in so many sessions, including a few this summer, as well as with coaches and instructional leaders that I've partnered with. And I just love the simplicity and adaptability of a simple chart with 3 columns and 3 categories. It is a great one, and I have truly enjoyed using it and sharing it.
Well, same. And that origin story is several years ago, I started following some mindful productivity thought leaders, and they're all about journaling and weekly reviews and goal setting. And I found this structure on a website called Nest Labs, which I know we've mentioned before. And plus minus next was my weekend reflection prompt for at least a year, but I've lost the habit a bit. So maybe this episode will inspire me to pick up this practice again. But one thing the Nest Lab article points out is that including the next step is future thinking. So we're not just looking at successes and struggles from the day or the week or our, in our case, the summer, but it's also what happens next. I offered this structure in one of my asynchronous sessions this summer, and I was working with an administrator planning her first new teacher check-in, and she thought plus minus next was a perfect way for the new teachers to reflect as well. And so I love that we're using it personally and professionally.
Oh, yeah, me too. And actually, whenever I'm sharing this with others, I typically lead with a quote from Michael Bungay Stanier from The Coaching Habit. Shout out to one of our previous podcast conversation topic favorites. But he says, people don't really learn when you tell them something. They don't even really learn when they do something. They start learning, start creating those new neural pathways only when they have a chance to recall and reflect on what just happened. So in the spirit of learning and creating those new neural pathways, let's recall and reflect on what just happened for us over the past several weeks of summer.
All right, let's do it. We'll start with the plus column and each share our top 2 takeaways of what worked this summer. And Laura, will you kick us off?
All right. The first thing on my plus column is the biggest one as well, and that is the own your own learning sessions that I designed and facilitated. So I did a couple of iterations of own your own learning sessions. I know you did as well. One of mine was to explore tech tools. I had one focused on gifted and talented learners, one for coaches, one for teachers exchanging ideas. And I have to say, I had a bit of trepidation about these sessions going into the summer because they largely depend on people exploring topics, connecting with others, and really driving the learning themselves. I was also a little nervous that people might come in expecting like a traditional step-by-step whole group learning experience, especially exploring tech tools, and then they would be disappointed or it wasn't exactly what they were looking for. However, not only did people show up and participate fully, for these sessions, there was such a good buzz of like energy and conversation in the room, as well as that authentic learning and collaboration, since it truly was so often driven by the learner. I got lots of good feedback from people who just enjoyed that time to explore, connect, and create. And I was delighted to see that some of my own favorite aspects of learning, choice and autonomy, worked so well for so many others this summer.
Well, Laura, this is always my favorite way to learn, the EdCamp Coffee EDU unconference style. So check plus 100 for you for those fabulous sessions.
What about you? What's first on your plus category?
I'm calling my first category connections, and a true plus this summer has been making new connections and reviving old connections. So first, directly tied to summer PD, it is always wonderful to have at least one familiar face in the audience. A challenge of our work, for me at least, is when we present to a brand new audience every single day, you have to establish credibility and form connections so quickly. And when I recognize at least one person in the group, it truly helps. And so I presented at a conference in my former district. So that was a reunion filled day. And at a couple of workshops, participants said they were in my sessions last year or at another time and they wanted to sign up again. So that's delightful for those connections and reunions and seeing people again. Next, I know I've mentioned Coffee EDU on this podcast at just
once
now.
Once or twice.
And that's a monthly informal meetup with a community of learners who have become real life friends. And in June, we met virtually and there were some extra special surprise guests in that meetup that made my week. And in July, our friend and DFW Coffee EDU founder Mason was in town from New York City, so we were able to see him in real life. So that was fabulous, a way to reconnect. And then also in July, I was able to expand my connections and network. I'm participating in the Learning Forward Academy, and my new teammates for this three-year program are from all over the country. So yay for new connections to learn from. And finally, a former student found me online and we recently met for brunch. She graduated in 2000 and I taught her at the junior high and high school, and she was a wonderful student. So it was lovely that she reached out to connect.
Well, those are delightful. And I love that connections is something that worked for you this summer. I always think of you as being a connector. And so I love that you had a multiple faceted opportunity to connect with different people in different ways. And so I love hearing that.
Well, thank you. And I can just tell I'm getting more animated and excited just thinking about those. So
I love that.
Okay, Laura, what about your second plus?
Okay, so my second plus is maybe it might feel a little bit more like a quick win, but it is a huge plus of something that worked this summer, and that is using the Google add-on Stickity. This was a major plus for me and my participants. And I know we briefly mentioned it one time last season, but one of the stickers that's available through the add-on in both the Docs and Slides add-on is a sticker of a mouse pointer icon. icon, and it's animated. It moves back and forth to basically indicate here is where you want to click. Now, my sites have a lot of embedded links. I always give credit and link back to original books or posts that inspire my thinking. And I will say sometimes people can get lost in too many clicks or knowing exactly where we are. So having that continuity of using this big moving mouse pointer sticker anytime it was a link that I wanted people to engage with was a slight tweak, but one that was majorly helpful. Mm-hmm. Additionally, one of my 6-hour sessions had a corresponding Google Doc that served as the thought catcher. And I used that exact same mouse pointer plus a few other buttons and design icons to help people see exactly which links to click and where to record their notes with that continuity that I think really streamlined things for all of us. So Stickity, a big plus of something that worked for me and my participants.
Well, what a fantastic way to lessen cognitive load for the participants. Always look for that. Mm-hmm. And also kind of lessen your cognitive load in the design aspect of it. It's like, oh, using the same sticker in the same place every time. So, ooh, that sounds like a fantastic plus.
Mm-hmm. What about you? What else is in your plus column?
Well, my second plus is a group of practices this summer that I'm calling workflows. Our summer schedule is hard and was even more challenging for me because I procrastinated way too much and my overall state of mind last spring was not great. But I rediscovered that the Pomodoro technique really works for me, at least during the summer. I've got a great timer website and I write out what I need to get done for the day. I have the 25-minute work time, then the 5-minute breaks, rinse and repeat multiple times. So that was one productivity hack. And then related to that is the idea of batching my work. And that is, I would say, okay, for the next 2 Pomodoros, I'm going to create all of my follow-up emails or edit all the Encore podcast episodes or schedule a bunch of tweets. Mm-hmm. And so doing all of those same tasks at the same time was a fantastic workflow for me. And then finally, I just mentioned follow-up emails, and I've been using the tool Formule for a while to create all of my follow-up emails for every workshop, and I did that again this summer. Mm-hmm. I really want PD to not be one and done, so having a follow-up email or two helps extend the learning at least a little bit. It takes a while to set it up, but wow, it's wonderful to not have to worry about sending all those resources later.
For sure. I think I need to admire and acquire some of your workflows because as you're describing those, I'm like, ooh, these are things that I am struggling with. So we might have to catch up later.
Okay. All right. Okay, Laura. So now to the minus column. So tell us what did not work this summer for you.
Sure. Okay. So something that did not work for me this summer was over planning shorter conference sessions, especially when I was trying to take a longer session and trying to rework it to fit into a quicker 50 or 45 minute session. I have found that it is a struggle to get all of the pieces to work well when I start cutting things to fit a shorter time than the original session was designed for. So that nuanced timing, the pauses, the reflections, all of those small moves that make a thoughtful session really come together perfectly are always just a little bit off when I'm trying to cram the best parts of a session into a shorter time frame. So I had this experience a few times this summer where I had a session timed out like to the minute to make it for that quick 45 minute conference session. But then the keynote ran long, or lunch was delayed, or interruptions beyond our control kept happening. And so it was shortening and shifting the already quick schedule. Did the session still work? Of course. Were they as meticulously designed and perfectly timed as I prefer? Nope. So I think I need to go back to our 2020 mantra of less is best when creating or especially reworking and recreating sessions for those smaller amounts of time. And remember to factor in those unexpected disruptions that are often beyond my control.
Well, my first minus is completely related to yours, and I'm calling it timing. And in the summer of 2023, first, I think 3-hour sessions were a bit too long for the educators we served. But as you mentioned, the 45 minutes plus the interruptions felt way too rushed. And now that we're also prioritizing things like connecting participants, aligning our work to the standards, clearly stating our purpose, those setting the stage activities, I think, are so valuable, but there may be less time to share the new content. And if we can send pre-emails to communicate some of that information, that helps. But when we're doing a summer conference type session in 45 minutes, you have to make it so streamlined. And I know I edited so much like you and thought carefully about what I was sharing, but I had several feedback statements like, I wish the session had been longer. And I know one of our districts created flexible schedules with different amounts of times for sessions. So shout out Midlothian and others. But now I know to choose that option of 1.5 hours for my ideal session length.
Good thinking and very, very aligned to mine as well.
Okay, Laura, what about your number two minus?
Okay, so another minus and something that did not work was me not closing doors. So this one is both metaphorical and literal for me. And so this phrase, closing doors, comes from, of course, The Art of Gathering in a section about excluding with purpose. And I did not do that enough this summer, and it was not working. So there's a quote from the book that keeps running through my head that says, thoughtful exclusion, in addition to being generous, can be defining. It can help with the important task of communicating to guests what a gathering is. And so, too many times this summer, in an effort to be flexible and accommodating and go with the flow, I think I lost the essence of what that gathering is. And so, I admitted people who didn't have the right materials, like no device for a tech tool session, or maybe weren't registered, or told me walking in they weren't really interested in this topic, but they just wanted to follow a friend into the session. I offered several K through 12 kind of general sessions that were good, but I'm wondering how they could have been better if I'd closed that door a little more and excluded the audience from anyone and everyone, to be a better honed and intentioned group. Also, there were a few times that I didn't physically close the door, and that didn't work either. So, a couple of the conferences were really full. And so, when the rooms were filled over capacity, and people just kept coming in, they offered to stand on the side or sit on the floor. I think I just kind of got overwhelmed in the moment and was like, okay, sure. But that made those rooms feel so cramped and a little stressful if it was already one of those wild 45-minute sessions. And it just didn't align well to the activities that I had intentionally designed for collaboration or working through materials at a table group if you're hanging out on the floor. So they don't really transfer effectively for people just being in whatever available space there was. So I think ultimately it detracted from the purpose of the session for learning, connecting, reflecting, and maybe unintentionally communicated that the purpose was getting credit for attendance. So I'm really going to think about that for the future and think about how I can be a better host and maybe close some doors. And if not close them entirely, maybe close them just a little bit more, and don't keep them as wide open.
Ooh, yes, Laura, that is so relatable. And now I feel my shoulders kind of going up, thinking
Yeah,
back to some of
yeah.
those experiences.
Well, what about you? What's your second minus?
Well, it somewhat relates to yours, and I couldn't think of a concise word for this minus, but it's something like remember what's in my control. And when we present during the summer, we typically have no control about our location or room. And so I'm reflecting now on some environmental things like, oh, I could have moved those desks into groups, and I just was too lazy to move furniture in the morning. Or maybe I could have controlled the lighting a little bit better. So if participants couldn't see the screen beautifully, could I turn off half of the lights? And I now know to be more deliberate about seating. And I did have some sessions with like four people and they sat in four opposite corners of the room. So ask them to move together. So thinking about that, or when people walk in with their teammates, if my purpose is connecting, can I be more strategic about randomly assigning groups and seats so people aren't always sitting with people that they know? And then the other piece is for the presentations where we really have no idea about our audience and we don't have ways to communicate with them beforehand, I know I should always have some type of pre-assessment, especially when the session is focused on a digital tool. So I regret that during a couple of sessions, I didn't ask as many check-in questions as I could have. So during the session, I realized, oh, I need to back way off and move more slowly. And, you know, it's not like I'm presenting compliance training and have to power through all these examples and activities. I can be in control of this work and the design. And so I can abandon some parts that aren't working or serving the audience in front of me. So remembering what's in my control, I need to do more of that. So I'm calling that a minus.
Ooh, yes. Once again, you're speaking directly to me. Okay. Good reflection. Good sharing.
Okay. Whew. Okay. Let's take it back up.
Yes.
All right. And finally, let's think about what's next as a result of our summer learning. And Laura, why don't you start for us?
Absolutely. This was the first thing that I added to the chart. And so what's next for me is expanding these idea exchange sessions. So I got to offer a 6-hour GT update that I named Owning Your Own Learning GT Idea Exchange. And these were really well attended, got lots of good feedback and a lot of good energy. Again, that buzz of connection and sharing around hot topics in the gifted and talented world. So I plan to offer some additional sections of this popular summer session throughout the year. But I'm also thinking about expanding this idea exchange format to center on other topics and contents, and maybe even looking to partner with other colleagues or service areas at Region 10, since the design and the format of the session works. So love those sessions, looking forward to expanding and hosting even more.
Let's make this the norm.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, what about you? What's next on your list?
Well, I'm really embracing the idea of learning journeys, and I want to continue to create these types of learning experiences that are not one and done. So like your compassionate coaching webinar series that you did a few years ago or for several years, I did an Elevating Professional Learning webinar series, and I'm repeating that this fall. And for some of my sessions in the follow-up emails, I was able to say, if you like this session, check out next week's webinar, or here's an online course with related content or things like that. And then for our roadshows, I had a session on the first day called The Power of Tech Tools, and you had a session, Tech Tool Tasting, that you mentioned earlier. So I was able to refer people to your session. And so I think this idea helps build a learning culture, just like what's the next step in the learning. So I want to make certain I always have something else to share with participants in order for them to keep learning.
Oh, that's so good and takes such thoughtful design. But going back to one of the things that worked for you really is in line with connection. So connecting learning to that next step, that's really good.
Oh, thank you for that insight. That makes me feel even better. Okay. What is your second next step?
So mine was kind of maybe an amalgamation of a couple of things that we've both said, but mine is really focusing on leveraging meaningful connections between job alikes. So teachers connecting with other teachers, coaches with coaches. I do a lot of this in the sessions that I design, but the overwhelming feedback that I got this summer of people just loving and truly appreciating these seemingly rare opportunities to connect with others has got me thinking. So I want to explicitly continue building valuable opportunities for others to connect and share ideas or create and apply learning together in my sessions, but also and beyond. So I'm thinking about, for a tangible next step, when I'm asked to present at a number of conferences next summer, I think I want to offer to facilitate more of these idea exchange or connection theme sessions instead of showcasing a tool or a strategy like I typically do.
I think our next step is we need to plan like a big idea exchange and have some of all of these pieces embedded in that together. So love it.
I'm in. Add it to your learning journey. What's next? Okay. Let's make it happen. What about you? What else is on your what's next list?
Well, I really loved the balance of my offerings this summer, and I want that to continue this year. And I want to be able to provide a mix of in real life sessions, webinars, asynchronous, informal, like idea exchange. I loved that in some districts, we were able to offer the own your own learning types of sessions. And shout out to our friends in Richardson, who had some very interesting options at their summer conference, like brain breaks and podcast and pedometers and like your birds of a feather type of session. So really from now on, I want to design with this variety in mind, looking at my schedule overall and make sure that I have all of these different types of learning experiences. And then I hope that will be a new norm for me and maybe others.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Ugh, plus minus next is always a winner, right? I'm feeling inspired. I'm feeling excited to kind of take on the year and use our learning to dive into some of our thinking for this what's next.
I love this experience, and I'm feeling inspired as well.
I also kind of like this sort of unintentional full circle of reflection here, because our last episode of season 13 back in May was all about meaningful conversation and reflection. And we each shared some things that we were feeling hopeful about going into the summer PD season. And without realizing it, I think some of our hopes have come true already, and that we are really continuing to work towards some of these aspirations and goals.
Oh, I think it's because these reflection prompts and the things that we're doing, it really works. And it does help us with this goal setting and making things meaningful. So it's a reflection in action, right?
Yeah, I was looking back at that old episode and I was hopeful about explicitly own your own learning sessions. And that was the first thing on my plus column of what worked, and prioritizing wellness and doing some what I need time. And so I like that a lot of those things are already in action or things that worked for me.
Well, when I looked back, I said I was hopeful for more movement towards creative formats and sessions. And that was exactly my next for next. And also thinking about acceptance of more than seat time for professional learning. And so districts moving away from requiring hours or looking for portfolios and learning processes. And so I think I mentioned in that last episode, creating learning journeys. And and so that's exactly what I started this summer and hope to continue myself and then see that in others. So love these hopefuls that are coming true or have come true.
That's good stuff.
Thanks for thoughtfully reflecting with me, Laura, and continuing to share our ongoing story of learning. It's been a great summer, and I am hopeful about what's next and looking forward to more learning and inspiration to share this fall.
We'd also like to extend the invitation to you, dear listener, to share your ongoing story of learning as well. Take a moment to pause and think wherever you're listening from and consider a quick plus minus next reflection of your work to note what worked, what didn't, and what's next.
You may also find us online at Dig Learn Radio to continue the conversation and share your own learning that's inspiring you this week. And stay tuned for our next Inspired to Learn series launching on September 21st.
Hooray! Mm-hmm. We are, as ever, inspired to learn from Gail Allen and her work in the new pillars of modern teaching. She reminds us that when we share, we add a sentence to the story we communicate about ourselves to the world. Let's keep learning, sharing, and transforming. Let's get inspired.